I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. If you missed it in the previous hour, we got to hear President Trump speaking from the March for Life. And I have to say, I was moved by it enough that it was difficult for me to just come on and just talk. So hopefully, if you didn't get to hear that, you can podcast us by going to radio.com and checking out the Annie Fry Show. Never miss anything that we do. It's all there on radio.com. Download it on your phone. We have Ryan here, Katie here. Now we have Gabe.
Knowledge is power.
It's not rocket science.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, how
see,
you doing?
John, the philosopher on YouTube, but right now he's in the studio with us. Doing
yes.
Okay.
So excited to see the president at the March for Life.
Oh yeah. My! What does that mean for you? You're pro-life.
That's huge. I mean, because the thing is, as much as we've had pro-life presidents in the past, we haven't had one to put up in this way before. You know, so it's a huge deal. It's definitely one of the what I would say is the best uses of the bully pulpit of his administration.
And the words that he chose to use too were very specific and direct, and he was not skirting an issue. He was making religious references, and I know that this has got to get under people's skin who are very pro-abortion, which I separate from being pro-choice, but it's all under the same umbrella. I don't believe that abortion is a religious issue. That is, I've had this conversation before. Yep. On this show, and then I get messages. You can send them to facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, but first you have to like the page. I don't think that's true, but you should like the page.
Do it anyway.
I don't think that abortion has to be a religious issue. It's not. It's a moral issue.
Yeah.
And religion and morality will go hand in hand. But I don't think you need to have Jesus in your life or a God in your life to understand that the life growing inside of a woman deserves the chance to live.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and I on some level regard it as a scientific issue as well. Because the thing is, as scientific advancements get further and further, we get to see more inside the womb. You know, it's not so much a mystery anymore what's going on in there, so you can, hand wave it away in a legal.
You ever seen a 4D ultrasound?
Oh yeah, they're amazing.
Did you ever have those, Ryan? The 4D ones?
I thought we had 3D ones. I'm not sure I know what 4D is.
Just video. It's just a 3D video.
It's intense. It's creepy.
Well, it's a tiny little human in there, like sucking their thumb or something.
Yeah, I mean, or
that's
waving.
It's really
kicking.
What you can really see, and it makes it much more difficult for the pro boards to make their arguments when you see the little person, for what they really are, and it's amazing.
Can you give the pro abortion argument?
The pro abortion argument.
Yeah. Like what is their
Man, it.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
How do you argue for it?
I do attempt, at least on some level, to try and play the devil's advocate against my own positions on a regular basis.
It will refine your own position.
Definitely. And the one redeeming quality I've ever seen, I guess, from the other side or internalized is the idea of caring for women in difficult situations. That's usually because if you think about it, that's usually where most people go with their arguments. Like, well, what about the raped, 12-year-old who's on the, and they throw all these things out to try and create the worst possible scenario for mm-hmm. a pregnancy. And they say, well, what about that one? And yeah, and that's usually stops people in their tracks because we are naturally compassionate creatures. But the thing is, if you couch the argument properly and you say, okay, well, then who has to die for her situation to be better? And now all of a sudden you're saying the innocent person inside her. Now it changes the conversation. It's no longer a we can do this little bitty thing to make her situation better. It's we got to kill somebody.
Mm.
So when you actually look at it for what it is, and I think that's really the fault,
yeah,
you know, in their arguments, then it all falls apart.
I don't feel like the argument right now is even over the science behind it, whether it is or isn't a life. Nobody talks about it. The pro-abortion argument is an argument against the pro-life argument. It's not an argument for anything.
Yeah.
It's an argument against something that's against something, which is in many ways the way Republicans and Democrats go back and forth politically. Democrats, for decades, for the majority of my adult lifetime, have made wild, sweeping, consistent accusations about what Republicans are.
Yes.
And Republicans are like, no, I am not like that. Mm-hmm. I am not racist. I am not sexist. I am not misogynist. I don't hate people. I'm a Christian, but. Well, what are you? Tell me what you are. Don't tell me what you aren't.
Yeah.
And we get so wrapped up in this argument about what we are not that to me shows that the Democrats have the field.
Yeah.
They've taken the field from you and everything, just the same way that if you look at the Democratic primary right now, it's all about Trump. Yeah. Everything revolves around Trump because mm-hmm. Trump has the field right now. What is a Republican? If you're a Republican, ask yourself right now, why are you a Republican? Not why are you not a Democrat? Mm-hmm. As I said at the end of Trump's speech at the March for Life that we played at the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, I voted in 2016 against Hillary Clinton,
yes.
But I will vote for Donald Trump. In 2020.
Same. Yeah, exactly. And you hit the nail right on the head there. We've ceded the ground to the Democrats on so many levels. And you know, they are masters at controlling language. You know, they even control the terms with which you can use inside the arguments. So then you end up on a completely defensive position saying, yes, I'm not. And as well as using their terms for things like choice and fetus and all, you know, whatever language they use to
they're
sort
good
of hide,
at language
to
and vocabulary.
Hide whatever their real agenda is. Yeah, definitely. And you end up having to argue. And that's kind of why I was going to that whole, you know, the pregnant 12-year-old, you know, in an abusive situation and blah, 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 is because the best way to tackle those types of questions isn't to jump right in and live in the little world that they constructed for you. And the best way is to deconstruct what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
And that's how you can take back that ground and you put them on the defensive. You know, you ask that question, well, who has to die then?
You know, what's crazy is that a lot of women that are my age and 26 and 27, it's almost like you're the villain if you're pro-life.
Yeah,
oh, totally.
And I don't know, like, I'll get in arguments with my friends and they're mm-hmm. like,
because you are pro-life.
I'm pro-life. And I'm like, they're like, how in the world yeah. can you be pro-life? But it's more their statement is, how can you be against women's rights?
Right.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not the point.
What's mm-hmm. your response?
My response is, who's looking after the woman inside the woman?
Yeah.
Who's looking after the little girl that's growing mm-hmm. inside of the mother?
Oh, yeah.
Or and another argument that they like to bring up to me. And these are all close friends of mine. So it's not an argument. It's a discussion.
Yeah.
Which is good and healthy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there, besides a young girl being raped,
yeah.
Something else that they like to bring up as well, like, you really care about the baby inside the womb, but once it gets out of the womb and it has to join like the welfare program, you don't
one.
Care Man, about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
says who?
Holy cow, you know what? Let's even take that situation and say that a young girl or a young man has to be on welfare. At least they're living a life.
Right.
At least I made the choice for them to live a life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing too is if you actually look at the reality behind that argument, you can see it's totally false. You know, there's a reason most of the hospitals in America are Saint something or other. You know, there's a reason why so many of the adoption agencies that are looking to lose funding because they won't support, you know, LGBT or whatever, are, you know, they basically would make adoption impossible almost everywhere. I think there are two adoption agencies in the state of Kansas, and both of them are Christian. So here's the thing. We are heavily involved in all of those things, in taking care of pregnant mothers, in adoption agencies, in foster care, in any number of homeless shelters and feeding the hungry. And those are all Christian tenets. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. So to say, oh, you only care about, yeah, you're not paying attention.
You're not accepting
that. And we're too humble to toot our own horn.
314-241-9797. Chuck, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, being pro-choice myself, I look at it as a medical procedure. And there is, at that time, most of them happen. It's usually within the first couple weeks after, you know, a woman misses her period or whatever. And that's it's at that time, it's a clump of cells.
But Chuck, I've been pregnant four times. I miscarried once. A lot of women don't know they're pregnant until the baby is potentially even 12 weeks along. It could be sooner. It depends on how that pregnancy affects. Like I smelled something when I was about 8 weeks pregnant and almost yacked. And I'm like, it's time to go take a test. That was with my second one after I'd experienced it already. But there are a lot of women who don't have those effects. And there are a lot of babies who are born or who are aborted even after the first trimester. It's not as common. So you're correct when you say that it's not as common. But the point is that in places like Illinois, where I'm from, and Virginia, which we've heard about a lot lately, the baby can be aborted in the morning when they come in to induce labor. The mother could legally change her mind and say, I don't want to have this baby, and they can kill it.
I don't think that's ever happened. I think that's
Chuck,
just right-wing talking points.
Chuck, let me ask you a very specific question here. And I'm not fighting with you. I like the conversation.
Yeah, go.
It's legal. It's allowed to happen. Should it be?
But it doesn't happen.
No. Answer my question. No, Chuck, answer.
Let me answer.
Well, I'm at whether
let me answer.
Should it be legal or not? Yes or no?
Can you foresee
yes
every
or no?
medical
Chuck,
emergency?
If you're not going to answer me, I'll let you explain your point.
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
Why?
And I'm going to say yes, and now I'm going to give you my explanation. Can you foresee every medical procedure that is going to come up in a pregnancy? Can you foresee every medical emergency? Can you? Can you document everyone that
no,
could come up in a
medical
emergency?
You could say the same thing about a two-year-old.
No, but
that doesn't mean the two-year-old's life is less valuable.
But my whole point is stay in your lane. You are a commentator on a radio.
I am square driving 65 in my lane, sir.
I let the doctors do their job. A decision like that happens to be between the mother, the father, the doctor. A politician has no business being there. A priest has no business being there. That is a medical procedure. It's medical, and it never happens, Annie. You guys talk about stuff that we make up that never happens. Well, that's stuff you guys make up that never happens. There is no way anybody is going to kill a baby on the day that they're going to induce pregnancy unless the mother's life is at risk.
Hey, Chuck.
That would be the only reason.
Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I wanted to give you a full opportunity to make your point there because I don't want to cut
Thank
you off.
You.
But I do have
Thank
a
you.
Finite amount of time. You've been on with me right now
sure.
for 2 minutes and 52
yeah, yeah.
seconds. I can see exactly how long. It's longer than I let most people talk. And I'm not going to end this conversation by dumping you. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Legal or not legal, that is the question. And whether it can happen legally or whether it should happen legally is a discussion that we need to be having. And I have you find me one medical professional that says that the baby needs to be murdered inside of the womb of a mother in the second or third trimester in order to save the life of the mother. There has not been one. That's the point.
Because
no, it's my turn, sir. It's my turn. Listen to me, because this is really important. Your argument for the abortion, the murder of fully formed children in a womb, is because it's not up to you? Good grief. What kind of goodwill and heart and soul do you have in yourself that makes you not understand? I mean, I'm assuming that you're a Democrat. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And Democrats and liberals are famous for wearing their heart on their sleeves. A bleeding heart liberal is actually a compliment to the kindness and goodness that liberals exert and to what conservatives would say. They make their decisions a lot more with their heart than they do with their brain. Where is your heart on this issue? How can you not understand the value of that life? How can you sacrifice the value of that life on the altar of abdicating your responsibility as a fellow human being to protect the life of that unborn because of a choice?
As a father and a grandfather.
Yeah, even worse.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know why? You know what I'll say to my response to that would be is because it doesn't happen, Annie. What you guys do is you guys make up these hypothetical stories like this to tore on people's heartstrings because it's made up stuff. It doesn't happen. It wouldn't happen in this country. And you use that to get people to vote against their own economic interests,
Chuck,
and to vote Republican.
Chuck?
That's what you do.
Well, listen to me. You're accusing me
of
that.
Show me a case where it's happened.
Chuck,
show me a case where it's happened.
Chuck, shut your mouth while I talk to you. Chuck, I am trying to have a grown-up conversation with you about this issue. I have given you way too much time. I'm going to get told by my boss that I should have hung up on you 2.5 minutes ago.
You're questioning my heart, though.
No.
You know, like I'm some kind of...
Now I'm doing what my boss says, and you're toast. And this is why. Because Governor Northam of Virginia, you're talking to me like I'm talking Republican talking points here. Sir Chuck, you know what? Your Virginia governor, the lord of all abortion, who says that if a baby is born and the woman decides that they make a decision that maybe was different than the one they had made before, they would make the baby comfortable while they ask the mother what to do. In that scenario, I would think the father would have as much decision-making power as the mother would have, that it would be a joint parent conversation when that baby is outside of the mother. Your governor in Virginia wants to talk about abortion after birth. You want to talk about my fake talking points? You go right ahead, but you talk to yourself in your car while you drive to work and you feel real good about yourself for getting me all worked up. Well, you're damn right I'm going to get worked up about this, because you saying that those are just talking points when we have people pounding the table in legislatures across the country, including in my home state, the state of Illinois, saying it's imperative that we give women these rights. If it becomes legal, it can happen, and that's a problem. I want to advocate for the women in there. I want to give them a choice to choose life, Chuck. I want to provide them the opportunity to understand how wonderful being a mother can be. And even if they don't go on being the mother of that child, that there is a mother out there who doesn't have a child yet and deserves to have one. Chuck, open your liberal heart and see your ignorance. We'll be right back. Here's the thing. I got $100 real dollars that Chuck is still listening right now. And that's all I want. And now that I mentioned his name, he can't turn this show off now. He's telling people to tune in.
Can I take that bet? Because I would love that $100.
He's listening.
He's a star of the show.
I promise
right now.
You he's listening.
I'm coming down on the side of him listening, yeah. So I'm trying to win $100 is what I'm saying.
You got some statistics?
Yeah, speaking of 100.
And we got a lot of phone calls too here, so stick around.
Yeah, about 100 abortions in the third trimester performed every year in the United States. So there's a real statistic.
Let's imagine that 100 people die in the next month from coronavirus. Does anybody give a crap about this? I gotta watch my language when I start getting this mad. Yeah. Stuff starts happening.
No, you're right.
It's my one vice.
Two people have died of coronavirus in the United States, and it's the top news story
it's
of the day.
Huge story. Huge.
Two people.
How many times did I put up the stop sign to Gabe when he wanted to get in on the three? I was looking up and I'm like,
I'm over here pacing. I look at my Fitbit. My pulse is 125.
Anything you want to say? This is the time.
Oh,
I'm still
right.
Coming down.
Well, I mean, first of all, just to add another statistic to the pile
out.
Here, we've also got over 270 documented cases of people surviving their abortions. So, you know,
how can that even be possible?
How can that even be possible?
How can you even survive an abortion if you were not a viable being?
So here's the thing that I always get to is I try to go, you know, earlier. Let's go earlier in the arguments here. Instead of talking about when a good time for abortion is or when the statistically most likely time children are being killed in the womb, why don't we ask the question, when are human rights afforded to humans?
It's a Supreme Court case just waiting to happen.
It is. And that's the reality. Is it when they pass through the birth canal? Is it at the third trimester? Is it second trimester? And of course, then you have to answer the question, well, why? Why at that point? What is special about that time period in human development that's important? And ultimately, you always philosophically end up at the moment of conception. And it's yeah. That's where it is.
That's why we need to have that. We need to be firm on it. Excuse me. What are we aborting?
Yeah.
Not should we?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to be pro-abortion and you want to admit what you're doing, it's a different conversation.
Yes.
But definitely. If you get involved in the facts of what you're aborting, I think it's Louis C.K. does a great stand-up on this very issue. And he says, abortion is one of two things. It's either a bodily function, the exact same as defecation. He uses more colorful language than that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's killing a baby. It's one or the other.
Yep.
And he said, when you understand that and you look at the other side of the issue from where you are,
mm-hmm.
everything makes a little more sense. He said, if you are somebody who's very pro-life and you see people who are very pro-choice and actually kind of nonchalant, maybe even cavalier about pro-abortion, nobody else is getting worked up about the rest of their bodily functions. You could understand why maybe that would be the case. However, if you are somebody who is on the pro-abortion side and you take a moment to turn yourself around on the other side of the issue, and you're like, these people think they're murdering babies. And then you see them quietly holding hands on the sidewalk with signs that say pro-life. You're like, they should probably be more worked up about this.
Yep.
Because it's baby murder to those individuals. Those are both real approaches to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be something in the middle where we can have a real conversation about it. But the very first thing that we need to understand is, what is abortion?
Yes.
When you say a conversation about something in the middle, is it something that we would say, you know what, if they'd give a little, we'd give a little? Like, we'd say, can we agree at this time of the pregnancy? Or is it something that you couldn't have that conversation?
I truly think that the conversation for pro-life people needs to really start heavily around federally supporting women who choose life. Republicans politically need to be the party that wraps their arms around these women.
Yes.
Because, again, going back to the conversation about Democrats defining what Republicans are, because Republicans only ever say what they aren't, we need to be the party that understands what's really happening, what the real abortion is.
Yes.
And then we need to empower these women to choose life and fund adoption. Fund it. Make it easy for parents. There are parents, there are people all across this country who want nothing more than a child.
As fiscally conservative as I am, I'm throwing money at that all day.
Yes. Yes. All right. I want to get to some of these phone calls because we have a full board. And I need to get through these people. Chuck, these calls, a lot of them are for you since you're still listening. Glad you're still out there. Thanks for being part of the Annie Fry Show family.
We love you, Chuck.
Linda, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah. I'm a registered nurse. I'm entering my 50th year in the business.
Wow.
I, at one point in my career, this was decades ago, had to be involved in doing abortion. Because there wasn't the staffing or the alternative ability in that facility to say, no, I won't, or I can't. I have seen everything from saline infusions that they used to do. I don't know that those are popular anymore, that literally dehydrated and kind of burned the baby to death, and then you delivered them. I saw suction dilatation and curettage, where you suck the poor little thing out. And I have seen two partial birth abortions. In both cases, the infant was deceased prior, and the mother didn't want to wait until her body would naturally, you know, go into labor. So they did a partial birth abortion. If you were in a room and you saw these things and you had to deal with, they call it product of conception. They don't even call what happens after a baby or a body. It's referred to as products of conception. And other nurses can verify this. If you're looking through a mess of stuff in a suction canister, looking for a foot or an arm or something that proves that you got what you were after, you wouldn't want anybody to go through that. You wouldn't want that to happen. You just wouldn't. And it's easy for these people to get on the radio, particularly men. It drives me crazy. They're not the ones who have to deal with this anyway. to talk about something they know nothing about and have never seen. It's a person. You cannot not know that this is a baby. And back in the days when saline infusions were the route that a lot of later abortions were taken, viable babies, I mean, it was like the precursor to that partial birth, was to give this infusion directly into the through the abdominal wall via needle of a strong salt solution that altered the environment for the baby to the point that it killed them. Those are the ones that survived. If you hear about survivors of abortion, those are the people you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They attempted to kill the baby in utero and it didn't work.
Linda, thank you for sharing that story. I don't know if that haunts you or if that
it
is...
It does. It does. I have, I'm a Christian. I have forgiven myself about it. And I have, you know, I've had to deal with that it happens. And I, you know, I look at it now and, you know, some of that was before I had children and grandchildren. And I have a real hard time now knowing, I know the first time you're pregnant, it's like it's, you feel like some kind of mystery package at Christmas, you know, so, everybody's looking at you.
So
like,
true.
You know,
people want to touch you and shake you and see what's inside.
It's not about you anymore. It's about what's inside. And
I wonder what it
is. I didn't relate until I had that baby in my arms that it's really a baby. Amen. I mean, something's moving. This little thing in there is moving and stuff, but it's really a baby. The second time you're pregnant, the minute you hear I'm pregnant, it's a baby.
That's so true.
You picture it and you know, and people don't get it. And I know a lot of the pregnancy counseling centers now will hand the mother, because she's a mother, they give her a pair of booties. They give her something that says, there's a person in there who could wear this.
Linda,
they give her something that identifies that as not a blob.
It is so
true. It's not a blob.
Bless you for calling us. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian myself, I mean, you're forgiven and you're sharing this story and you telling people about this, even if it's hard for you to sell those stories or relive those stories, will bring actual factual truth to the issue. And that's invaluable. Linda, thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Wow. That's tough. That's tough.
The Unplanned movie, if you've ever seen that too.
I have not seen that movie.
Unplanned. Yeah. Yes. It kind of deals.
Abby Johnson.
Yeah. Abby Johnson's story. It kind of deals with very similar things because she was an assistant to abortions in some cases. And at some point it got to her.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Story. She got recognition awards from Planned Parenthood for her work.
Yes.
At Planned Parenthood. She tweets her plaques and stuff. Betsy, thank you for calling the show.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Betsy.
Yeah, I'm a little upset from that last lady. I feel my heart goes out to her.
Yeah.
But hey, Chuck, if it doesn't happen and you're not that worried about it, why do they need a bill? Why do they have to work up the whole country and everybody else? Because it doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's
And unfortunately, I had my own experience because the baby was anencephalic, which means the baby doesn't fuse at the spinal cord and the brainstem. So, yeah, and, you know, that's something that no baby has survived. Yeah. So, being a Christian myself, unfortunately, there's no other word for that procedure except abortion, even in a medical situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Betsy. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Thank you for your story. And, you know, we were saying off break, to say that it never happens, then, like, why? Let's make it legal to murder people who are 11 feet tall.
Right.
Nobody's 11 feet tall.
Don't worry about it. It'll never happen.
There's no sense behind that. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to either of you two, Ryan and Gabe, regarding men's responsibilities on this issue?
Well, I mean, I regard everybody's responsibility in the same way in terms of the moral responsibility to protect the unborn. In the same way, I would, you know, if it was 1847, and I would expect everybody to have the same moral responsibility to protect the enslaved population.
Not because, just white people, not just black people.
Exactly. It's everybody's responsibility.
It's a
because
human rights
it's
issue.
A human being. It's a human being. And everyone who is attempting to dehumanize that person so you can do whatever they want with them are in the wrong.
Well,
necessarily.
Tom, Eric, Gary, Lisa, hold on the line. We've got a couple people calling in right now. 314-241-9797. If you want to join us, I'm going to ask Ryan his thoughts on it. Outspoken Christian and pro-life, I assume, if I haven't beaten it into you. Hey, Chuck, how you doing? We'll be right back.
Oh, tell a girlfriend you were so on.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Why is it so hot in here? Heart's beating fast. Ryan?
I'm a little flushed.
You're a father of three and outspoken Christian. What do you think? What's the man's responsibility on this issue?
Oh, man. What's the man's responsibility? I mean, I don't know. I don't think that there, I don't have any debate points to change over what is currently happening.
Do you see that men should have a different position on this issue as women, or like what Gabe was saying, like
can men speak on the issue?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Do you think that men should stand up for, or do you think this is not their moment?
No, I think men absolutely can speak on this topic, and anybody can speak on any topic and have an opinion on it and should. Just because you haven't had the experience, that doesn't mean you can't have a thought on it. It just doesn't mean that it means you haven't had the experience. You have to acknowledge that. I have to say, I have not birthed any children. When you're talking about
you've made them.
What it's like to have a child inside of you, I can't speak to that. I have no idea and
we're
never
guys.
Will.
We just contribute. We don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the movie Junior, so I understand that. But beyond that, I don't get it. So I think you have to acknowledge that as a guy first and say, look, you're speaking from a place, and this applies to a lot of issues.
For sure.
You're speaking from a place of understanding this in a different way than I am. But once you establish that, I think you can have a discussion about it. Well, and I think you should.
Yeah, I agree with you. 314-241-9797. We will get through as many of these phone calls as we can. Let's start with Bruce. Bruce, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie. I love your show.
Thank you, Bruce. Love you, too.
I got a response for Chuck. I'm sure he's not going to want me to say this because, you know, me and Chuck, we know the truth here.
Okay.
I was a musician for a lot of years, played in a lot of bands. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, a lot of musicians are liberals, and I'm really not, and I never have been. But one thing I do know for sure, Chuck, I understand you there, buddy, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are. I understand quite well what you're about, Chuck. Half a million babies a year, a little over a half million babies a year, aborted under Obama. All by himself in the 8 years he was in office, Chuck, almost 5 million children were killed, and 92% of them were ethnic. We understand, Chuck, don't we? We get it.
Bruce?
We know what you're about. It's not about whether a woman has rights or not. It's not about whether any of this is really important, Chuck. It's about your deep down, deep centered racism. Chuck, you've got to understand here. Abortion's important to you, isn't it?
Bruce, thank
just like
you.
It was important to Hitler to kill 6 million Jews.
Bruce, thank you for the phone call. I want to bring this up.
Bruce bringing some fire.
Bruce is cut straight to the point, which is good because Chuck is still listening. Hi, Chuck. Everyone want to say hi to Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi.
Hey. How you doing? People associate abortion with racism. If you don't know who Margaret Sanger's name, if you don't know who Margaret Sanger is, Google her. You might be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, but Gabe is black.
What?
I know, right?
I'm just finding out today.
Gabe just found out.
Katie, Gabe is a black man.
What? Crazy. Check it out on the webcams. Like, yes,
yeah,
people.
Facebook.com/AndyFryShow if you don't believe us. Ryan is very white.
You know what's funny is that we always, when we get done with this show, we all say, Gabe's white, right? So whenever Annie just said that, we all went, wait, what?
Huh?
It's like that scene from Blazing Saddles. Where the white women at?
What do you think? Being a pro-life person who is Christian, who is black, is there a racist component to it today?
Well, if nothing else, it definitely serves racism. And I'll say it that way. Because, you know, Margaret Sanger's vision was to reduce the population.
Of
the founder of Planned Parenthood, a staunch eugenicist. Her vision was to create an organization that would limit the population of the dregs of society. So that included poor people. I think she included the Irish in there. Black, mm-hmm. and obviously black people. And
sounds like slavery.
If it's pretty bad. And if you go into some place like New York, there are more black babies aborted than born. Hey, that's the vision of Planned Parenthood.
Say that. Let's Adam Schiff. At least yeah. My Adam Schiff voice. Let that sink in.
Let that sink in.
Because your thick, hard to penetrate skull might not have heard it from his lips the first time.
Yeah.
More African American or minority?
African American, specifically.
More babies
aborted.
Aborted.
Than born.
Than born!
In New York City.
Holy smokes! That's ridiculous!
Yes, quite. Well, and the thing is, I've, you know, being a math guy, I've done the math on what abortion has wrought.
He's black and a rocket scientist. That's why we have him on here. He checks all
and
the boxes.
A mather.
Yes.
All the boxes.
A mather.
A mather.
Yeah.
Mathlete. I've done the math. You know, it's relatively approximate, but if you include the standard rate of abortion for African Americans in America since Roe v. Wade became legal, if all of those abortions had not happened, there would be twice as many black people in America than there are today.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. I want to get to some more phone calls here. I'll try to get through these quickly. Lisa, thank you so much for calling the show.
Hi, Annie. I absolutely adore you.
Thank you.
You crack me up.
That's why I'm here.
I love your emphaticism. So don't let anybody tell you when you go crazy, that's part of who you are, and I love you. I wanted to share
like
with you. I wanted to share something. We often hear that, what about the 12-year-old little girl who gets raped? What about her? What about her?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I was one of those girls. And I was younger than 12.
Yikes.
Became a woman at a very young age. And unfortunately, but that happens. And I was raped. I was raped actually more than once. However, there was one time when we thought I was pregnant. And I never at one time, Annie, thought there was a blob in me. I knew immediately that was a baby. And I'm older. I'm 64 years old. So this was a while ago. I knew that was a life inside me. Nobody had to tell me it was or wasn't a life. I knew. Mm-hmm. Now, I lived in a very, we were very poor. My family did not want to face anything. We were, as far as they were concerned, I was going to have an abortion. And in my mind, there was no way I was going to have an abortion. Praise the Lord, after 3 months, I had a period, and I was not, ended up not being pregnant. But to this day, Annie, I know that was a life. Now I have two grown children now, and, you know, I've experienced childbirth. But we know, I truly believe from my heart, Chuck, and I think we need not to get on him so much. He has a right to his opinions. We all need to work together. But I truly believe in our hearts. We know that's a baby, and the term abortion is murder. It's another word for murder. We are killing our society, and we are using an excuse saying that it's a choice for a woman. I also wanted to bring a point up, Annie, to the fact that I have several friends. I relate to the musician because I'm also an artist. Very, very liberal community. I am the only Christian conservative I know in my artist community, which is fine because that gives me a segue to share the Lord.
Sure.
But anyway, I wanted to say that I know several women who have aborted, who have gotten pregnant and aborted their babies, and the father had no idea that he could have been a father.
Lisa,
and I believe women have rights. I believe men have rights, too.
I could not agree with you more on that issue, Lisa. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
And well, you're welcome. You have a blessed day, and thanks for taking my call, Annie.
Yes, you bet. I mean, the stories, the extreme circumstance stories that people offer do exist. I always say, let's keep the status quo right now for those, but let's talk about the people who use this procedure for birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Let's discuss that because let's not pretend as though that doesn't actually exist. Gary, thanks for calling the show real quick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, in response to Chuck saying that that, you know, it was the doctors, you know, they make the decisions and stuff. And I have a friend who years ago, the doctors, they did some testing and they said the child was going to have Down syndrome. And she was a Christian. And she's like, well, if this is God's plan, it's God's plan, blah, blah, blah. Lo and behold, she had the baby. The baby was fine. Wow. Now, what if she did abort it? The doctor suggested abortion if she, or gave her the option of having the child aborted. And I'm sure she would feel terrible if she would have. And I'm sure the doctor doesn't feel one bit of remorse and probably doesn't, you know. What do you do when mm-hmm. something like that happens? Yeah. That's just terrible.
Gary? Okay, go ahead.
And I'm also a musician, but very conservative. So there you go.
Wow. We talked to all three artists who happen to be conservative at the same time, all on the Andy Fry Show.
You need to start a club.
Yeah, and Gary just said something, and I want to touch on it. And I know it's not what he meant, but he said that the baby was going to be born with Down syndrome, and then it was fine. I have dear friends of mine who have two who have children who have Down syndrome, and it's the greatest blessing that's ever hit their family. Mm-hmm. And it's not; they have other children who don't have Down syndrome. But you know, even if the baby would have been born with Down syndrome, it still would have been an amazing blessing.
Yes,
to touch that family, really. Really lots to talk about here, and I know I still have a ton of people who want to discuss this issue. We are going to talk about some other things throughout the course of the rest of the show, but if you didn't know, President Trump spoke at the March for Life today and really spoke straight to the issue that we've been discussing here quite a bit. And, you know, is it shocking to you that the president is speaking at a pro-life rally? I will tell you this. When I voted for him in 2016, did I think that I was voting for the future president who would be speaking at pro-life rallies in this term? Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think he was pro-life. That was brand new information to me. Yet here we are.
All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life.
That's from your president. And, you know, as I've said multiple times, I did not know that this is what I was getting in a president when I voted in 2016. Would you ever have guessed?
I would not. I was sure, actually, that he was pro-choice. I mean, I just hoping that he wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. Just stay away from the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not staying away from it.
Yeah, and he's on the right side, too.
He dived head in, and it's amazing to see. Thank you, Chuck, for calling and giving me two full segments of people who want to call and talk on this issue and still a full board of people. Facebook.com/Andy Fry Show. Apparently, when I get worked up, people want to see it. So hi to all the Facebook livers right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.